child, Lord, many times we take that for granted. We ask you to forgive us for that, Lord, but to continue to teach us and to bring forth that which you have started in us, that you have promised you will complete, Lord, of us becoming like Christ. Will you help us this morning? Thank you so much, Lord, for those that have gotten out today in the middle of the storm and the hurricane winds and the rain and, Lord, all the things that are on the news that can happen. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of your people, of getting up and getting their vehicle, being in the house of God. And Lord, would you honor our commitment to you today, to worship you and to be around you today. And Lord, I just pray that we would lift you up, but also as Christians this morning, that more than ever, Lord, we would be challenged by you and your word today to be a part of what you are doing in this world in our lives. Lord, help us today as we get the word in a little bit. Not only you'll be with us, but you'll be with Miss Lindsay and them in the kindergarten church, Lord, that you will help them today, and with our young people, and be with Miss Bridget downstairs, and those in the nursery this morning, Lord. I just pray all over this property that as we preach the gospel of Christ, that people will be saved, but also Christians, Lord, become more committed to you in our lives as we walk with you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house today, Jesus. We ask this in your name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. And it's so good to see you here with us this morning. And I'm glad to have you here with us today and excited what the Lord is doing and what God has planned for us this morning. And I read a story this week about this preacher. And it was his first time at a church. He had just voted me to become the pastor. And his first sermon, he preached for 20 minutes. Just 20 minutes, he preached 20 minutes, and the people were taken back. The previous pastor they had before preached a lot longer than that, and they're like, wow. And so the next Sunday, he came back, and he preached 25 minutes. 25 minutes, and they're like, man, we've never had sermons this short before. The third week, the preacher came, and he preached an hour and a half, the story said. And so they were like, wow. So they were shaking hands. There was this sweet lady that stayed behind and said, I'm going to ask you what the deal is. And as she was leaving the door that day, she grabbed his hand and said, preacher, you preached 20 minutes the first week, 25 the second, and an hour and a half today. And she said, I don't understand. What is the difference in it? He said, well, the first week, I just had my teeth pulled and had my new teeth in, and my mouth was hurting real bad, and it was all I could do to get 20 minutes. And he said, the second week, I didn't have them glued in right, and they were moving around while I was speaking, so I had to quit. And he said, now this morning, I accidentally picked up my wife's teeth, and I couldn't stop talking. And then I promise you today, okay, we'll have had a good time in the Lord in his house, all right? These are my teeth so far, amen, so far. But listen, good to have you here with us today. And I want to say a special thank you, too, to all that you did last week, all the cooking, all the hard working. And we had several folks saved last week. And we had three of those families come back Wednesday night and brought their children to a Awana Journey. And so be praying with us about that. Continue to pray about that. And I'll say more about that in a little bit. But I want to say a special thank you to you for all that you did with that. And I'll come back in just a minute. We'll do some announcements. Glad to have you here this morning. You glad you came today? Say amen. Amen. We're going to sing one a little different, the bulletin. So if you will, let's stand together. Let's go to 162 this morning. We're going to sing Living by Faith as they lead us this morning. Let's sing out on this beautiful song.
Lord, I'm gonna rule it for everything and all of my ways.
tonight. Praise the Lord for them. And then on October the 21st, for all the Awana parents, we are having a trip to the pumpkin patch. That is $11 each. It'll be at 2 p.m. on that afternoon. You do need to sign up with the Welcome Center for that, because about a week ahead of that, we're going to have to finalize the exact number on that. We've already made the deposit for that. But please go ahead and sign up. Parents can go with us on that trip, but it is $11 per person. See Wayne and Jennifer Pippen as well. More information on that. And then on the 28th, many of you have asked about that, the judgment journey. It's a good opportunity. Maybe you have some unsaved family and friends that may not come to church, but they would go to that. It's a good opportunity to take them that, sign them up for that. It'll be in LaGrange, Georgia. If you got more questions on that too, see Brett Jones about that. That is coming up in just a couple weeks on that Saturday. And then on the 29th, we'll be having Trunk or Treat. We're going to do all of it on that Sunday afternoon, our Upward Award celebration and our Trunk or Treat. We're still planning this week. We'll have more information for you on that. But if you got questions on how you can help with that for trunks and things of that nature, see Jennifer Trammell, and she is helping us with that. And then for all the fellas, don't forget the announcements there about the camp out in November as well. For the teenagers, the bowling trip that is coming up in November. Now, today after service this morning, you'll be able to out in the foyer. Our cookbooks are in, and you can stop by the table out there and pick up your cookbooks. Those are in as well, and you can see Ms. Jennifer Trammell for more information on that. Okay, I'll come back to the offering here in just a little bit and give you some more about prayer requests for our people right now. A lot we need to be praying about this week as well, as for our church as a whole also. And right here in our town, do be praying for our police officers. Many of them are out today. They are working for the hurricane relief or to make sure people are okay and protected, taken care of. So let's be in prayer for them, all right? But it's good to have you here this morning. Let's sing one more time, if you will. Let's take our hymn book and let's go to 113 this morning. 113 this morning. And let's sing this song, Glory to His Name. Let's sing together. Today, the passing of loved ones this week. Continue to remember them in prayer. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, asking Him to bless our all. us here to do. So God, help us this morning. Open our eyes to your truth. Thank you, beloved Jesus. We pray in your name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you. You can be seated. You went out this week and you looked underneath your car after your car had moved out of the carport or wherever you parked your car, and you saw underneath your car a little oil spot. You would say, you know what? I'm leaking oil. You get to work and you leave your parking spot at the work, and then when you leave work, you say, you know what? My vehicle is leaking oil. What does that mean? You're going to go get it checked out. So let's say you go to the mechanic shop and you take it over there and they call you and say, hey, listen, your oil can is leaking. You need a new oil pan gasket. Now, what is that? That is the big bucket on the bottom of your vehicle. It holds all the oil in it so it can cycle back through the engine and keep your engine lubricated and running. So you say, yeah, sure, go ahead and do it. So they take it back there in the back, and the mechanic lifts it up and gets under there, and he gets a ratchet, and he goes around, and he takes out, you follow me, 40 little bolts around that oil pan. And then he takes the oil pan down, and he goes over to the cleaning tank, and he cleans it off real good and scrapes all the rubber seal off of it. And then he goes to Ronnie's Auto Parts. Amen. the lost. Understand this, as a Christian this morning, our job is to take the gospel to the lost and not to market Jesus like he's some kind of candy bar or some new thing that came off the industry line. My friend, we are to take the gospel and to go to those that are around us, to go to the world. We are to go with the gospel. Now, going with the gospel is tough. Do you know why? Because it's difficult. Because when you go with the gospel, you are moving into the enemy territory, and you need to expect opposition in your life. You need to expect the devil to come after you. Why? Because you're moving into his territory. You're going with the gospel, and you are trying to bring people to Christ, and Jesus told us to go. And you know what, church? I'll be honest with you this morning. My heart was so excited last week. Not of the people, not just the fact that we had lost people here, but so many of you had co-workers and family members and friend people that you have been witnessing to and praying for. Hey, and your efforts paid off, and God brought them here last week, and they heard the gospel. Now we need to pray for them and keep going after them. Can I get a witness this morning? I read an article this week that was so humbling to me. I told my wife, who right down the road, I said, baby, you're not going to believe what they're doing over in North Korea. You see, in South Korea, next to China, I believe, South Korea is one of the fastest growing churches in the world. But in North Korea, it's illegal to worship Jesus Christ. If you get caught being a Christian in North Korea, here's what they do. They arrest you, they arrest your family, and they have Christian prisons that they put you in. And the only way, you ready for this, that you can get out of prison is if you would denounce your faith in Jesus Christ in North Korea. So here's what the Christians in North Korea are doing. When they get saved, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment, they dig underground churches under the ground. And I read the story and did a little research about it. And you know what that means? They didn't dig a hole. They actually would dig a tunnel. And underneath the ground, they would dig an actual place, a square that they would get under. And they would gather together under the ground as Christians to worship their God. And they would sing, this amazing. They didn't sing out loud vocally because they were afraid that the authorities would hear them and find their secret hideout where they were worshiping God. So you know what they would do with the hymns? The story said today, this is not 50 years ago, this is today. They would close their eyes for their time of singing and praise, and they would hum the songs to God. How many of you that's humbling to? Let's ask another question. A while ago when we sang glory to his name, did you praise him? God help me. Or did you stand there? And there's Christians on the other side of the world, listen, that are underground. Underground, they're singing, humming praises to God because they're afraid of being arrested. And here we are, we have the freedom. Hey, we ought to sing the roof off this building. Amen? But listen, this is amazing too, by the way. Those Christians in North Korea, they have a passion to get the gospel to the other North Koreans. And here's how they're doing. They're taking gospel tracts and they're rolling them up and they're stuffing them in balloons and they're filling those balloons with helium. And they're tying knots in them. And in North Korea, right while we're over here in America enjoying everything that we have, those Christians that are worshiping God with dirt this morning under the ground with the worms, they're letting those balloons go in North Korea. And I don't know where all of you are, but I know this. There's people continually getting saved in North Korea, joining those secret underground churches. And when the balloons pop, the tracks fall down, and it falls on the hands of a hungry heart. And that person gives their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And watch this. And this is amazing. When people get saved over there under that persecution, they go find a church. But what are those Christians doing? You ready? They're going with the gospel. And hey, church, this morning, one of the first purposes of our church is to take the gospel to the world. Now, somebody say amen. Number two this morning, that's the first purpose. Stay with me. We're not a halfway church, we're a whole way church. Number one, we are to go with the gospel. Look at the next thing, verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now the word teach here is different than verse number 20. We're getting to that in just a little bit. But the second thing we're to do is to teach the gospel. This means we are to convince others to become followers of Christ, to become a disciple of Christ, or a follower of Jesus Christ. What are we doing as Christians? We are to go with the gospel, and while we go, we are to teach and challenge others to give their lives to Jesus Christ. Hey, listen this morning. You've got people you've been praying for, people you've been witnessing. Apostle Paul had a passion to not only go to the down and outers, but he also tried to reach those that people said was unreachable. And there was one particular individual in the region there where he was, King Agrippa. And many people said, don't waste your time going after King Agrippa. I want you to listen to this. The Apostle Paul sat in prison for 2 years. 2 years. For an opportunity to witness the King. And as he got his chance, they would bring him out and he would come before Agrippa. And what would Paul do? He would try to show him that he needs to give his life to Christ. He would show him that he's a sinner, that Christ died and he rose from the dead. And he would say, King Agrippa, come on, won't you believe in Christ? Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts 26:28, at the end of all Paul's efforts, here's what he said. He said, Paul, almost ready, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What was he doing? He was trying to convince him to follow Christ. So the purpose of the church, number one, is to go with the gospel. But then, when we meet people and God brings people in our life, we are to convince them, give them the gospel, show them that Christ died for them, rose from the dead, and plead with him. Because this is to be plead with him to give their life to Christ. If it's making sense, say amen. Number three this morning, number one, we're to go with the gospel. Number two, we're to teach them the gospel. Number three, after they believe in Christ, look at verse 19. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The third thing we're to do, we're to lead people to be baptized. Now, why baptism? The word baptize here means to immerse, to completely go underwater. This is not the idea of a cork. You listen to me. It's the idea of a 2-ounce catfish weight. You see it? Not the idea of some flesh, underwater, immersed. Now, why is baptism so important? Number one, because Jesus said we're supposed to. Verse 19 here, when he said be baptized, baptize them, this is a command. We're to teach people to be baptized. Now, why did Jesus say us to do that? Think about this also. Jesus was baptized as our example. He was baptized as our example. You remember when Jesus was baptized, they said, hey, Jesus, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. Jesus said, no, I need to fulfill all righteousness. What did Jesus say? Baptism is critical for the Christian. Why is it so critical? This is why. Number one, he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It is a public statement that I am a follower of Christ. Now somebody say amen.
Amen.
We've gotten to the place where we don't want people to know that we're following Jesus. I don't tell you, that's not what it means to be a Christian. We are not only to follow Christ, we are to be proud of our Savior. Amen? So baptized here is the one we identify with him, Colossians 2:12. It also shows what Christ has done in our life. Baptism, you're standing in the water, you go under the water, you come up. What is that a picture of? It's a picture of you turning from your old way of living. You come up a new person in Christ. When you became a Christian, hey, God didn't just touch me. He changed me, amen? He made me a whole new person. He did a work in my heart, and he saved my soul. Hey, we're to go with the gospel. We're to teach the gospel. Then we're to baptize him. And then look at the fourth thing. Now, if you're still with me here, say amen. Don't miss this, because this is where many churches are pulling up the stakes and going on. But if we're going to preach the Bible this morning, let's preach all of it. Let's don't cut it off. Let's preach all of it. Look in verse number 20, what he said. He says, number one, go. He says, teach the gospel. Baptize them. And then in verse 20, he says this. Teaching them to observe all things. Whatsoever I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, this second word teach here means to instruct in one on how to live. We have a command as Christians, and as a church, please understand this. We are that are ready to be teachers. Hey, I'm excited what God is doing. Why? Because we not only have to get people to Jesus, we have to show them how to live their life. Amen? Amen. Now, Brother Joey, what does that mean to us? I want to give you three thoughts this morning as we close. What does this mean? We don't want to be a halfway church. We want to go with the gospel. We want to teach them to be saved. And after they turn to Christ, we want to see them baptized. Then we want to teach and preach to them how to live their life, how to follow Christ, the Word of God. Now, what does this mean to us? Number one, here it is. First of all, church, we got to realize this is for all nations. Now, I want you to please stay with me this morning. Please, don't turn away from what the Word is teaching this morning. Look at verse number 19. Look what he tells us here. He says, go ye therefore and teach. Will you say those next two words with me, please? All nations. Let's do it again. Go ye therefore and teach, say it. All nations. Now watch this. This morning there are people who sit in a church and they figure out, listen to me, how to market Jesus to select groups of people. I'm going to tell you something, church. That's not what God has called us to do. You say, but Joe, what about the money people? They'll either get saved or they'll go to hell rich. What about the poor folks? They'll either get saved or they'll go to hell broke. You see, we don't pick and choose who gets saved. Why? This is why. One of the things mentioned last night, we were sitting around the Western Share this testimony. Here's what he said. He said, I remember one day sitting in there in the back of that church, hiding out in that church. I had no parents, had nowhere, but I found somebody who was going to give me some needs, so that's where I stayed. Smart man. Amen. He said, there was this woman riding by where he was. And said, God told her, stop and go in that place and talk to them. And said she put it in park and walked in and knocked on the door. And when he came to the door and looked at him and said, hey, you're going to be my son. And he was like, woman, what are you talking about? And she said, I was riding down the road and God told me to stop. And I'm listening to God. And hey, he didn't know it then. But God was not only working on her, but he was working on him. And listen to me, church. We don't have control over who gets saved. We preach the gospel. We go after lost people, and God draws them. And our job is to go with the gospel to all nations. We can't choose who gets saved. Hey, it's not a gospel for the white people, a gospel for the black people, a gospel for the red people. Hey, and now a gospel for the yellow people. Listen to me this morning. We got a gospel for all nations. All have sinned. Jesus died for the whole world, and the gospel is to go to all nations. Now somebody say amen. Number one, it's for all nations. Number two, please stay with me on this. Number two, I want you to go to verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Now there's a few people, not many, that would say that this doubted here is referring to Thomas and maybe even John, I think it was. But Thomas had already had his doubting meeting with Jesus when he walked through the door and touched his side. So who is he talking about here? What do you think with me? The 11 apostles are here. We know in verse 16, the 11 gathered there. As Jesus comes on the scene, the other disciples that were following him, 1 Corinthians 15, 6, Paul mentions there were at least 500 here. Some others think that in Luke 10 that it could have been the 70 that he sent out in pairs of two by two. We don't know for sure if the 70, but watch this. As these disciples were here, it is very interesting to me, number one, that the gospel is to go to all nations, but number two, we have to understand that some disciples are going to doubt this purpose. In other words, some people are not going to do their part in what God has called us to do. And so he said, listen, you go with the gospel, you teach them how to be saved, you baptize them, you teach them how to live, but don't forget that while you're going, there will be some who will not be involved. Why? Because they will not commit to the purpose that God left us here. But I want to say this morning, when you fulfill the purpose that God has given you, and you bring the soul to Christ, or you help someone grow in their faith as a Christian, you experience joy from obeying God. And number three this morning, number one is for all nations. Number two, some will doubt and waver. But number three this morning, I want you to jot this down. This has been a blessing to my heart this week, and I pray it will be yours too. We're almost done. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Look at verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all what?
Power.
Now I love that. Won't you look at why I look down and tell you why? Because Jesus said, when we are involved in doing what God has called us to do, it is God's power that saves somebody, but it's also God's power that sanctifies them or teaches them how to live as a Christian. Here's what happens. Stay with me. Here's what happens. We allow the devil to scare us from telling people what God is saying. That's what we do, is it not? That's what we do. We allow the devil to tell us, man, if you tell them that the Bible says they're supposed to live this way, they're going to leave the church. Not if they're saved. They've got a voice inside of them crying out of a father, and they want the word of God. Does it hurt sometimes? Yes. Is it painful? Yes. Hey, but the same gospel that saved will clean up and sanctify, and folks understand that if we have sin in our life, there is enough power of God to clean our lives out. And I want to tell you this morning, you may be sitting here and you may be struggling with somebody in your life. You're trying, I am. There's some folks in here that's been saved, that is in our church, they're not here this morning. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that they're not here. And now I'm going to tell you, I can't tell you how many times a week I get on my knees and I call their names out, and I call his name out, and I call her name out, and I say, God, you got to do what I can't. Lord, I'm calling, I'm pleading, I'm visiting, I'm texting, I'm sending messages. Lord, I've even written letters in a day. We don't even write letters anymore. But God, they're not responding to you. God, what are you going to do? And God reminds me, Joey, that if I saved them, I'm God enough to save them, and I'm God enough to teach them how to live. And I'm telling you this morning, God saves people, but he also sanctifies people. And church, we cannot forgive. To leave the sanctification process off is to abandon the whole purpose that God has given us. Number one, he's got enough power to save. Number two, he's got enough power to sanctify. Number three, here, number. He's got enough power to sustain us in our service. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Here's what I mean. In a war, I'm not minimizing it, stay with me. There's two kinds of people in a war. There's those people who get out there and they're on the field. And every time they come around a tree, they have to be watching because the enemy's trying to kill them. And every time they're running to a new place, they have to watch their back. You know why? Because the enemy's trying to kill them. Everywhere they go, they feel the pressure of being hunted. And then there's others who are sitting back through satellite camera or other means. And they're watching it all, but they can't feel the pressure of the enemy. But as they see the enemy approaching their people, they have the power and ability to notify their soldiers, you're in trouble. Trouble's coming your way. Here's what you need to do. And to this morning, Christian, if you commit to be a part of what God is doing in this world, listen to me, you will be on the field. It's painful at times. It's hurtful at times. You know why? This is why. Because while you out there trying to get that marriage to do right and follow Jesus Christ, the devil's right there in the home fighting you against it. Somebody say amen. And while you're out there and you're trying to convince that man that he needs to put down those drugs and give his life to Jesus Christ, the devil's also there convincing him that it's okay, that if he does that, he won't have fun. And wherever we go in our life and we're trying to serve God, not only are we battling the enemies and his forces, but understand this, he's also going to try to get to us. And he will do everything he can this morning in context. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5, what was Paul talking about? He was talking about the battle that was going on in his mind as he was trying to defend himself against the false prophets. He said, hey, this has been killing me in my thought life, but I've got to stand strong. Why? Because I've got to serve Christ. I've got to follow Christ. And hey, it is a difficult thing this morning to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm so glad today that you as a Christian and me as a Christian, that when we are serving Christ, that he has enough power to keep us going. He's got enough power to sustain us. And understand today, when we go with the gospel and we share the gospel and we lead people to become disciples of Christ, we are doing what God wants us to do. And he's got enough power to keep us on the field. And whatever we're going through, he is back at home watching from satellite camera. He knows what we need, when we need, and he will take care of us. Now somebody say amen. Amen. down the rock and close the thing, is they come this morning. Maybe this morning, sitting in our seat, Father, Lord, you've got to speak to us as Christians. Lord, help us understand today that we all have gifts. We all have callings. But God, as the church, the purpose of the church, in bringing glory to God is taking the gospel. Giving the gospel. Leading people to follow Christ. Teaching them how they'll live their life. Lord, this morning I pray we not be distracted by our enemy. Not be distracted by those who doubt. Those who do not believe enough of what Jesus has done for us to do the same for others. Lord, help us stay focused on Christ. And working in our life. Being faithful to what He's called us to do. Lord, this morning I pray for those in this building that may not know Christ. That today, Lord, you will speak to them about their need to give their life to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those in this building today that have been saved, some recently. Lord, in their life today, you're calling them to identify with you, not be ashamed of you, to identify with you, Lord. And I pray you would help them be surrendered to you, identify and be baptized, Lord. Not being ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning I pray that we would not shy away from giving the Bible to people. Giving them the Word of God because it is their help. But also, Lord, that we would not turn away the Word of God in our life and be open to it. It is what builds our lives. And our heads are bound, our eyes are closed this morning. Sitting right where you are in your life today. You may be battling in your mind this morning. Your own life. I don't know that I'm a Christian. I want to say to you this morning, you've got to ask yourself, is there a time in my life where I turn from my own way of living to Jesus Christ? And I believed. I believed in Him and I trusted Him, and that day I became a follower of Christ. You know it. You may not know the exact time, minute, or moment, but you know it in your life when you said yes to Jesus. But this morning you may be sitting there and you say, "Well, Joey, I've never really expressed my relationship with Christ. I've been ashamed of it." Maybe God is talking to you this morning about that need in your life. And I want to close here. You may be sitting here this morning, there's people in your life you're trying to bring to Jesus Christ. There's people in your life that you're trying to help follow Christ. You're trying to help disciple them in their life, and you're frustrated, sir. You listen to me? Because he's skipping church. He ain't reading his Bible. When something bad happens, you're the first person he calls, but he ignores your text. When something goes wrong in her life, ma'am, she calls you first, but she ignores all your Facebook messages. And you say, "But Joy, this morning I'm trying to do what God wants me to do." Listen, it is not our power, it's His power. But will you commit this morning to be faithful? Say, "God, I want to be what you call me to be. Lord, I want to do my part in pointing people to Jesus Christ and making disciples so we can continue to get the gospel to this world." And as we close in prayer this morning, I'm going to pray. God has spoken to your heart this morning. Our altars will be open for you, an opportunity to come talk to God about whatever it is He's speaking to you about in your life. Father, will you help us? Lord, thank you for loving us this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for those people, Lord, that help bring us to Christ. Thank you for those people that help disciple us and teach us, Lord, right from wrong and things in our life and challenge us to be in the Word. God, help us to do the same. Help us as a church to be a church that does a whole job, Lord, not a halfway job, a whole job with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless our time. back this evening, Lord, for our service tonight. Thank you so much for loving us a great day in your